Good morning. The scripture reading today is from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 11 through 16. You can find it in your bulletin, or you can find it on page 726 in your church Bible in the back of the seat in front of you. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. This is the word of the Lord. It is absolutely true and given to us in love.
Well, when I was in college, I spent my summers working on a lake in western New York. It was a beautiful lake. And one day, though, I was not having the best day. There was a girl. I liked her. Her feelings were still very much not mutual towards me. And so one of my friends decided to cheer me up by taking me out sailing on this beautiful lake in this little sailboat. And so we're out there for maybe like an hour when we catch the wind the wrong way and our sailboat completely flips over. Now, admittedly, when it first happened, it was pretty funny. And so we decided, you know, all right, let's just try to flip this boat back over, which didn't really work out. I don't know if you've ever tried doing that before. It's a lot harder than it looks. So we try shouting at the top of our lungs at these other boats, but it's a windy day and none of them could hear us, or maybe they just didn't care about us. I'm not really sure. And so then we had this great idea. Well, we'll just swim this flipped over boat back to the shore. So we start like kicking our feet and we're pushing and we're pulling and we're trying to get this boat to go. And it, I don't think, went anywhere. We tried everything we could think of. None of our ideas worked. We were exhausted, embarrassed, and stuck floating in the middle of this lake. We tried as hard as we could, but we couldn't row our way back to the shore. All right, hold that picture of helplessness in your mind. Because Jonah 1 drops us right there. The ship's about to sink. The sailors are soaked and exhausted. God sent this storm to pursue his runaway prophet, Jonah. A severe mercy to try to bring him back. But now it's about to take everyone down with him. The crew, they've rowed as hard and hard as they could, but they're no match for the power of the storm. If something doesn't change, they're not going to make it out of this. You know, their storm, in a lot of ways, it mirrors our story. Now, we're not on a sinking ship with a runaway prophet from God, but in our hearts, in my heart, we can all have that same response that they did. To try to row our way out of trouble, fear, guilt. You know, the default response of our human hearts, it's to try to rescue ourselves. To, just like these sailors, grab an oar and start rowing hard back to safety. And we can use a bunch of different oars to try to get there. Maybe we reach for morality or spirituality or success. But no matter how hard we row, we can never quite get back to shore. You know, we can't quiet our shame by achievement. We can't outrun our guilt by performing. We can't sustain our life with God by our willpower. And when I try, just like these sailors, I end up tired, frustrated, stuck. Well, what if our biggest need today isn't to row harder, but trust the one who went into the storm for you? What if instead of spiritually performing, thinking, if I just pull hard enough at the oars, I can put a smile on God's face, and instead we discovered the freedom of living more and more in reverent awe of God's rescuing grace? Well, if that sounds familiar, if like me, you know the weariness of rowing hard but never arriving, then let's lean in and see what happens at that place where our strength runs out and God's grace steps in. So the storm that we've been looking at the last couple weeks, it's reached a breaking point. Ship's about to go down and take everyone with it. And so the sailors shout, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And Jonah says, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Now, if you remember from the last few weeks, his sin has kind of put everyone in this whole mess. The sailors are suffering the impact of Jonah's running and rebelling. So here's the solution: Jonah's life for theirs. He'll suffer so they can live. That's the plan. That's the way out. In the middle of this crazy storm, a rescue shows up. The substitution of one for the sake of many. But Jonah's not really the hero here. I mean, when you listen to what he says, you think, is he obeying? Is he resigning? Is he giving up? I don't think we can really tell. Probably a little bit of all of that. This rescue, it's not so much coming from Jonah as God. He's giving the sailors a way out through his prophet. Jonah's life for theirs. Jonah's essentially saying to them, you guys are dying for me, but I should be dying for you. So pick me up and throw me into the drink. And if we take our lens here and we just zoom out for a bit, we start to see that what's happening here actually isn't anything new. This is often God's way of rescue. One, for the sake of others. You know, in Genesis, God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. So they climb the mountain, make the altar, and just when it's about to happen, God gives them a ram caught in the bushes to sacrifice instead. One dies, the other lives. In Exodus, the night before God's people were freed from slavery, he tells them there's going to be a judgment over the entire land of Egypt. But if you take the blood of a lamb and you put it on your door, you'll be safe. One dies, a whole family lives. You know, over and over again, we see this same story. One for the many. Some go free because another bears the cost. And now, here in Jonah, on the deck of this swamped ship, God again provides a substitute. Jonah will get chucked into the sea so the sailors can find peace. Can you see it? It's written all across the Bible. It's even woven into the fabric of our world. You know, and a shepherd has a lamb that becomes an orphan. None of the other sheep will take that lamb into its family because it doesn't smell right. So what the shepherd will do is he'll take some skin that he's kept from a lamb that has died, and he puts it on this orphan lamb, and when the mother smells her child scent, she takes that orphan in to be her own. One life given, another received. I mean, this is why we love stories like Harry Potter and Star Wars, because they all echo this melody, one for the many. It's a pattern that reveals the very heart of God. You know, if the storm shows God's power, the substitute shows his mercy. He won't leave these sailors to sink. No, with God, there's always a way out. There's always a rescue that he provides, a substitute. And all we have to do is trust it. All these sailors have to do is trust God's rescue, one life given, so they can live. That's God's way. Now here's our way. You know, verse 13 starts off with one word that opens up the reality of our hearts. Nevertheless. It says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land. Now, in one sense, what they're doing is incredibly brave and compassionate, especially with everything that's been going on in the story up until then. I mean, Jonah's put their lives at risk, and now they risk their lives for his. I mean, what they're doing here, it's the type of the thing that God's hoping to see Jonah start doing. But at the same time, they're also resisting God's rescue. The sailors, they hear mercy, and they reach for their oars. They row hard to get back to dry land. It's the reflex of our fallen hearts. To resist God's rescue, to reach instead for what we can control. To strain and pull instead of trusting God's way. A substitute. And just like these sailors, our reflex so often can be to grab an oar and start rowing too. You know, there's a lot of different oars that we can reach for. Maybe it's our character. You know, if I can just live an outwardly good enough life, if I can avoid all the big sins, then maybe I'll finally prove that I'm enough. Good enough for God, good enough for other people. Maybe it's spiritual disciplines. You know, if I can do enough quiet times, spend enough time in prayer, read enough books, then maybe I won't lose control. Maybe I can keep myself safe. Maybe it's achievement. If I build the perfect career, the perfect home, the perfect life, then maybe I won't need anyone's help, including God's. And just like these sailors, we can really subtly live as if God's substitute isn't enough. So instead, we grab the oars and we row and row and row. You know, when you think about your life with God lately, has it felt more like being on a rowboat or a sailboat? Now grace it is opposed to earning, not effort. Trust me, there's still work to do on a sailboat. The problem isn't our effort, but it's trusting in our effort. In this season, where do you notice yourself relying on your own strength? You know, where does life with God feel like maybe you're just rowing hard against the wind? You know, the thing is, I don't think we always trust in our rowing, in our strength, because we're just being defiant. I think a lot of times it's because we're afraid. Afraid of letting people down, of losing control, of what might happen if we let down the oars for a moment. I mean, rowing hard, it doesn't always feel like this prideful rebellion. A lot of times it just feels like survival. I mean, that's probably how these sailors felt. Up until this point, they've been humble, open, sincere. I mean, they're just trying to survive here. And so in the chaos of the storm, they pick up their oars and they dig in hard to get back to shore. But they could not, verse 13 says. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. You know, they rowed as hard as they could, and now they've reached the end of themselves. It's where all our rowing hard ends too. Where a spiritual life of do more, try harder finally breaks down. The more we row in our own strength, the more exhausted, anxious, joyless we become. Now, here's what it looks like when I fall into just patterns and habits of self-reliance. Instead of moving me closer to God, I end up bouncing back and forth between pride and despair. One week, I've rowed hard, I'm doing well, and I can catch myself maybe even thinking, man, I'm just more cut out for this than other people. Next week, I've rowed hard, I've failed at something, and I can start thinking, you know what, I'll never measure up. I'll never row hard enough. I'll never make it. And if I'm being honest, that's probably where I settle more often than not. Do you know who lifeguards say are the hardest person to rescue? The swimmer who keeps struggling. Who keeps fighting, who keeps trying to work their way out of it. At some point, they have to trust the arms of the one who's come to rescue them. Well, guys, that's us. That's me. At some point, we have to let go of striving and trust the Redeemer's arms. Because that's where he meets us. So the sailors are exhausted, out of options. They've pushed and pulled as hard as they could, but it can't get them back to the shore. So they've reached the end of themselves, the end of their way. And now they're open to God's way. Verse 15 says, so they picked Jonah up and they hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. They put down their oars, they pick up Jonah, and find peace. Jonah takes the wrath of the waves so they can have the calm of grace. And here, right here, in the middle of the storm, the pattern continues. The one you see with Abraham and Isaac, with lamb's blood on a door frame, with Jonah on the deck of a boat, the pattern of a substitute, of one for the many keeps going until it will reach its fulfillment, until that pattern becomes a person. On the cross, we see what all these stories were whispering about. The great story of one for the many, the story that takes us from the whirlwind of Jonah's life to the wonder of God's love. You know, Jonah was a guilty prophet. Jesus was the beloved son. Jonah bears judgment in a storm. Jesus bears God's judgment on the cross. Jonah was cast out for his sins. Jesus was cast out for ours. Jonah was reluctantly thrown into the sea. Jesus willingly dove in headfirst. Jonah's plunge calms one storm for a group of sailors. Jesus' sacrifice calms the ultimate storm of God's wrath for all who will believe. Jonah sinks under the waves. Jesus is swallowed by death, but rises in victory. Jonah had to be brought to the end of himself before he showed an ounce of compassion. Jesus, his heart has been filled with compassion from you before the world even began. He couldn't hold himself back, but from eternity past said, "Father, I'll dive in so they can live." That's the story. It's the story that we love reading in books and watching in movies, the story that Jonah on the deck of a sinking ship was all whispering about. The story of God's rescue, God's way, when on the cross, God provided the substitute. Not just one for the many, but his son for the many who loved you so much, he dove into the storm so you could live. And it's here at the cross that God says to every weary, exhausted, or maybe prideful heart, "Friend, let down your oars. You can't rescue yourself, and you don't have to. The gospel isn't row harder, but receive the heart and work of God's substitute." You see, Christ is the end of a life of rowing hard and never arriving. Because in the gospel, we get the gold medal at the start line, not the finish line. You don't have to keep striving to try to prove yourself. Jesus has already plunged into the storm and given you his perfect record. Because of Christ, you don't have to live with the shame that you'll never measure up. You don't have to carry the weight that it's all up to you. You don't have to live in the fear that you can't stop rowing. We are forgiven, cherished, and beloved, not because of our sweat, but because of Christ's blood. Because Jesus dove into the fury of the storm so you can live in the kindness of God's peace. You see, the cross is a daily, moment-by-moment invitation to let down our oars and trust God's grace. To come to the end of our way and open up to God's way. To let go of doing life through our own strength and trust in God's substitute. To start to learn to say with the Apostle Paul, "The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Which, if we're honest, I mean, that is risky and scary. And we'll have plenty of moments where we're back at the oars. But guys, It's right there where our rowing slows down that something new begins. So Jonah's gone under. The ocean gets calmed, and the sailors are changed. It says in verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. If you could think back a couple weeks ago, they started this whole thing off fearing the storm. They ended fearing the Lord. This is where trusting in God's way takes us. This is where the cross takes us. From rowing to revering. Now, the fear of the Lord isn't being afraid of God or unsure if you can be safe around him. Now, Isaiah 11 says, the fear of the Lord is the delight of the Messiah. Psalm 130 calls it the fruit of forgiveness. Jeremiah 32 promises it as the gift of grace written on new hearts. It says Psalm 2 describes it, to rejoice with trembling. It's to bow before our rescuer with humility, awe, and love. And this is what the gospel frees us to. Like these sailors, when we meet the power and love of God on the cross, the Spirit, it starts to fill us with reverent awe. He moves us from rowing to revering. And this begins to reshape ordinary moments in our lives. Now, it's a lifelong journey, one that we will always need daily mercy for. But the Spirit starts turning everyday pressures into invitations to revere the God of all grace. So maybe when we feel that impulse to pick up the oars, when the message we hear whispers, it's all up to me, the only thing I can count on right now is me and my strength. Maybe that's when you're replaying a conversation you wish had gone differently. You're trying to fix it in your head. Or when you're lying awake, planning out how to hold everything together just for one more day. Or when you sit down to pray, but your mind drifts all over the place to all the ways you need to try to make things right. It's in those moments that the gospel frees us to pause and maybe pray something like, Father, you are great. Jesus, you have finished. Spirit, fill me with awe. Grace, it invites us to turn that impulse, to strain and push harder into a moment to worship the one who's already secured our peace. Or maybe it's when you see someone else striving hard. An anxious friend, a weary coworker, a prideful spouse, classmate trying to hold everything together. Someone with a fallen heart, just like ours, that's prone to pick up the oars and just start rowing hard through life. Well, reverent awe, it overflows into compassion for other people. You know, the grace that rescued us, it starts to turn us into a refuge for others. So in those moments, we can ask the Spirit to let them feel the peace of the gospel through us. Even if that's just sharing with them all the ways that we're still struggling with that. Because the good news is not that God's smile is waiting at the finish line for the hardest rower. I mean, what's there to revere and worship in that? No, the gospel is Jesus saw our need, knew the cost, and dove right in. And his invitation today is come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Let down your oars, receive my cross, and enter the awe of my grace. Amen. Let's pray. Father, there is so much of these sailors that we can see in our lives. Our impulse so often is to pick up the oars, start rowing hard. Father, we pray that your Spirit would work in us to grow a deeper trust and awe in your rescuing grace to us in Jesus. Father, we know this will be a lifelong journey, and so we pray right now for daily grace, daily mercy, a daily rescue, to when we come to the end of our way, to trust a little bit more in your way. And as we do, Spirit, fill us with awe at the grace that's rescued us and the grace that will carry us all the way home in Jesus. Amen.